welcome to the Evolving HubSpot podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Creswick. In this episode, we take a deep dive into HubSpot's recent acquisition of Clearbit, the B2B marketing intelligence company, exploring the profound impact it's set to have on the future of CRM, sales, and marketing strategies. With me today is Darren Smith, the CEO of Hubble. Darren brings a wealth of experience and insight into how this acquisition will reshape the HubSpot ecosystem and the broader CRM landscape. Hello and welcome to the Evolving HubSpot podcast by Hubble Digital, a podcast where we explore the topics that matter the most in the world of HubSpot. I'm Matthew Creswick, and in this episode today, I'm joined by Darren Smith, CEO of Hubble Digital. Darren, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Now, Darren, I think the first question I must have for you before we dive into the topic we're going to chat around today is, have you fully recovered from South Africa winning the Rugby World Cup?
I'm a man that loves analogies, and it certainly is my top analogy at the moment. Anything to do with teams or strategy is all about the World Cup at the moment. And unfortunately, the cricket's been going really well, except for our latest match. So I would love to have both the cricket and rugby World Cups.
Nice. Okay. So your two main sports in SA are flying at the moment. Yeah. Unfortunately, my two football teams that I follow are both down in the dumps. So sport is not so much on my agenda today. But Darren, so we're here today to talk about kind of the recent news last week that HubSpot had acquired Clearbit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm interested and intrigued to kind of hear your opinion on what this means, like what it means for the market, what it means for HubSpot users. I guess before we kind of dig into the detail and get into the detail on the actual acquisition of what it means, if we take that up a level and kind of look at Clearbit amongst other tools in a similar space, things like G2.com, ZoomInfo, Outreach, Bombard, these kinds of tools, I guess how do you see these tools being used in the market? You know, from my perspective as a person who kind of runs a small marketing team, I'm aware of more and more of them coming onto the market. As you know, obviously we use G2 to some extent, but how do you see this kind of play of kind of data enrichment, buyer intent in the marketing market at the moment?
Yeah, so I think there's definitely two areas, and they are starting to merge closer and closer together. So if you take a data enrichment to start off with, and that's the typical likes of ZoomInfo and Seamless and that type of thing. So being able to look up people's data, search their name, surname, job title, telephone number, email address. Obviously, some of that is completely above board, and some of it could be questionable about how that was kind of mined. For example, these that constantly sent out purposeful spam, in a sense, to see, do email addresses bounce, try and work out the formula for an email address. Is it name dot surname? Is it first letter of the name, surname at domain? What is their email address? What is their telephone number? That type of thing. And if you look at, Microsoft acquired LinkedIn a couple of years back, I mean, that's effectively also ability to look up people's details, especially with LinkedIn Sales Navigator. You're able to build out filters, search on certain industries or size of the company to identify people. And then you can, with LinkedIn, obviously you can use InMail to reach out to those people. So it's all about finding the right people to sell to or to market to, right? So if you look at Clearbit, I'm not sure the entire source of their data. When you sign up for Netflix or something like that, are you busy saying they're allowed to share your data? And you might not be reading that fine print that is allowing them to share your data and sell that data. You might be, and I'm just using Netflix as a complete example, it might be from conferences, it might be from places like LinkedIn and so on, but they have a database of many, many people, and that helps salespeople identify potential buyers. There's also, if you look in within the HubSpot ecosystem, there's like Org Chart Hub, which is a tool that allows you to kind of map out an org chart within a company. So you can see who are the influencers, who are the decision makers. And if you're trying to sell, who are you trying to reach and what is your path to reach that person? So these type of data enrichment platforms allow you to work that out. It's quite useful for a sales rep to use, but then also useful for a marketing team if they want to run account-based marketing programs. Then if you look at the intent data side of things, so this is where you are identifying or you're spotting early signals for buying intent of certain products and certain services. Now, the most of the theory behind that is that if a company or people within a company are researching a certain topic, consuming certain types of content, then it can be assumed that they are in the market to buy that particular thing. So if you take Trustpilot or D2.com, one of those type of platforms, obviously if there are people researching, say, for example, CRM, and they can work out that this company, based on their IP address, is researching this particular topic, or maybe because they are a registered user on G2.com or Trustpilot, they are able to say, well, clearly there is buying intent here. And if there's buying intent and you get it early enough, you can then obviously use those data enrichment platforms to then go and work out who might be the person within that company that is busy doing that that research. Now, if one person goes and looks at a piece of content, that's a pretty low intent signal. But if you get in 30, 40 hits from a company, that's clearly somebody, or there's maybe a board directive or management directive to go and research a new CRM system, or go and research a new leave management system or payroll system or whatever it is. I'm using software as an example, but it could be services as well. Now, as I said, generally this is done through content. Now, within LinkedIn itself recently, they've started to allow for intent filters in Sales Navigator. So obviously LinkedIn has a plethora of content on it that people are scrolling through at different speeds, pausing, clicking on, reading, engaging with updates. And every single post can be categorized using machine learning and AI to say, okay, this post that Matthew Kreswick has written is clearly about CRM. So if there's people that are pausing on that, that gets added to your profile, and then you can get that data out of kind of the LinkedIn intent data and be able to outreach to them. Now, if you look at HubSpot has their own huge amount of content. But what's been interesting is, a year or two ago, HubSpot bought The Hustle, which is a business news platform. And I wondered, what are they going to do with that? HubSpot has built out the HubSpot podcast network, where they sponsor podcasts, which is content that ranges from health and beauty to software to strategy and so on. What are they going to do with that content? And now with the acquisition of Clearbit, I think it's all coming together, right? So I think, if you look at Clearbit, it is a little bit of both. It has got the kind of database of people, and it has also got the beginnings of intent data within it. And now if you were to, for example, add intent data from many other different sources that HubSpot has access to and combine that with AI, you're going to start being able to get buying patterns that can help a sales team and marketing team then target those accounts. Because obviously from the intent data perspective, yes, of course, a sales rep can say, oh, I can see company A is researching my product. They can start researching, who do I reach out to in company A? But once again, you've got account-based marketing, so your marketing team can be targeting ads at that company in LinkedIn or using one of the programmatic platforms. So it is connected, both of those things, and they're increasingly getting connected. And I think what this shows, and what HubSpot has been doing even 2-3 years back, which shows the level of strategy that's going into HubSpot's thinking, it's all becoming crystal clear now.
And I think, Dan, what you're kind of highlighting is HubSpot's change with maybe, things like how buyer behavior are changing, how people purchase large pieces of software or products is kind of changing, and then ultimately trying to pivot and adjust how their tool works and their methodology and their positioning on how you use HubSpot for their users. Because I think, as a long-standing kind of HubSpot partner and user, if we think back, even kind of 6-8 years, even more recent than that, HubSpot's kind of message on the data that you have in your system, the data that you're putting into your system, had always been, it needs to be really high quality, it needs to be engaged, you need to have had conversations or engagement with these people that you're loading in, into your CRM system. What we're saying now is ultimately we're going to be having guessing, you know, through things like intent data, albeit a very educated guess, guessing who these people are, putting them in CRM and trying to outreach to them before a conversation or, you know, anything has taken place. Guessing, again, albeit kind of very, very educated and data-driven guesses on things like email addresses. So I guess, how do you see this shift of HubSpot being a CRM system who used to say, you're only allowed to put people you're engaged with, know, have downloaded content, you know, have brought from you before into your CRM, to this shift where you're ultimately trying to, you know, kind of put people into your CRM system, perhaps before they even know who you are and trying to engage from a sales or marketing point of view?
Look, I think that was always been quite an idealistic outlook on how people sell. And, you know, I think it is high risk to have a single go-to-market motion. You cannot only have an inbound go-to-market motion, especially like, you know, as the world evolves. How is the world going to change in the next few years with AI, and how are buyers going to change over the next while? Are they going to block out more content? Are they going to research? Are they going to use a generative AI to do their research? Is there going to be a buy bot where you can basically ask a bot to go and buy you something and it goes and does all the negotiation and just goes and makes that purchase? Who knows, right? So having a single inbound motion is, you know, not realistic. And if you look at the competitors, Salesforce, Microsoft Dynamics, Zoho, Fresh, you know, whether it's a small CRM like the Zoho's Fresh Sugars, that type of thing, or a big enterprise CRM like Salesforce, you have to put other data in there. There's nothing stopping you from driving past a building, seeing the logo on a building and going, you know what, let me go and research this company. Maybe they're a perfect fit. Or maybe you're at a dinner party or at a pub and you bump into somebody and you strike up a conversation. They say, oh, you know, we are also in the market at the moment for a new agency or a new CRM system or something. And you go, okay, well, you know, then maybe they'd even say to you, hey, you should totally speak to John. He's the CMO. And then you go on and you find on LinkedIn, who's this person? You've got to be able to add that person in somewhere. Because what happens if somebody else within your company wants to speak to that person or has spoken to that person or is engaged with that person? Like, you want to know that background, because maybe that person said, hey, I never want to talk to you again. That should be in your CRM. Or what if that person is actually in a sales motion already? You need to know that information. So having no data in your CRM besides inbound leads is not realistic. And I think HubSpot's terms of use say at the moment, you're only allowed to have, you know, double opted in GDPR compliance, like, data in your CRM. But I think that's not entirely possible at all. And I think this shows a significant shift in HubSpot's opinion on data within a CRM.
Okay. And how do you see HubSpot kind of, you know, next steps? Or the acquisition was announced last week. At the moment, ClearBit integrates directly into HubSpot, you know, through a native app integration. How do you see kind of HubSpot's play probably over the next 12 months in terms of ClearBit, whether it's built within the system, whether it stays as a standalone product?
Yeah, so I think obviously there's a couple of legal loops and so on that they need to jump through to kind of officially conclude the sale. But I can guarantee you what is going to happen is HubSpot is going to rebuild ClearBit natively in HubSpot. Why can I say that as a guarantee? It's because HubSpot's stated strategy is to not acquire and cobble in other software into theirs, unlike some of the competitors, right? That means that if you want to integrate with HubSpot, if you want to innovate on the platform, you can do so at speed because you're not having to integrate with one part of the system that isn't actually fully integrated with another, and you need a piece of software like MuleSoft to send data into different directions and that type of thing. It is all one native platform. So they will rebuild it. Just like when they acquired PieSync, PieSync was acquired and it was about a year and a half, 2 years later that Ops Hub was launched, right? So it became a full native product and improved upon what PieSync was. So PieSync stayed in the marketplace that entire time, that year, year and a half, and you could integrate with it like you can with Clearbit now. But at some point, it launches as its own hub, or I don't necessarily think this will be its own hub. I think it will be part of, you know, HubSpot's AI push, part of adding features into the marketing engagement hub, adding features into the sales engagement hub. So I think it's just going to be natively built into HubSpot. So that's what we'll see. It'll probably take a year and a half to 2 years to get to that point.
Very briefly then on kind of, you know, Marketing Hub and Sales Hub. If you're a Marketing Hub user today, if you're a Sales Hub user today, in the, let's call it kind of 18 months from now, assuming HubSpot have rebuilt and Clearbit and kind of into the platform, how do you see kind of those tools adapting and changing between now and then with the introduction of the data and the platform?
Yeah, so I think at the moment you have to go outside of HubSpot. If you're a sales rep and you want to do research on an organization, you have to go into LinkedIn or go into Zoom Info or go into Clearbit and go and research that company. I think what's going to happen is natively, you'll be able to go into the company's object, for example, within HubSpot and click on lookalike or similar companies to these. And it's going to give you a bunch of different companies. You can go into that. You can say, okay, what does the employee structure look like? And it's going to build out the employee structure, and you'll have a button that says add to CRM, and you can actually add into your CRM. So I think that's from a sales perspective. Very similarly, I think you'll be able to do the same from a marketing perspective. That will result in a list. So you can say, you know, I want all companies that are similar to company X in this kind of region, with this number of employees, maybe with this amount of turnover, maybe that is showing buying intent for buying this type of product, add them to this list, right? Once you've got them in a list, you can then load that or connect using the HubSpot ads tool and say, right, I want to target this list with Facebook ads or with LinkedIn ads. And obviously one of the amazing features in HubSpot is the super targeted ad feature that you can actually go through using a workflow. So you can see, I want them to see this ad for 1 week after being on the list. Then the second week, I want them to see this ad. So you can actually take them through that buyer journey using ads, which is quite incredible. And then as you start winning customers and you start getting more accurate, that's further fueling the algorithm, and you can then add lookalike audiences onto your ad. So really, like, I suppose it's taking that budget that is increasingly under scrutiny and really making it relevant and personalized. I think overall, like, you know, we've gone from 1980s, 1990s, where it was big TV ad, shout something to everybody. We went into kind of the inbound marketing era of write super relevant content, which is still should not be stopped, but write super relevant content. So when someone is searching, they find you. We're now saying there are terabytes and terabytes. I don't know what's more than a terabyte, but whatever's more than a terabyte of content out there. Now, what if we look at that content in a more high level kind of perspective and use AI to say, well, this user is consuming this type of content in many different places, and therefore using machine learning and AI, I can target an individual, but not an annoying spray and pray type message. It's super relevant. It's as a kind of HubSpot's theme at inbound is it is personal, not personalized, right? So it's super relevant. So if you are busy searching for something and something comes up that you are actually searching for and it's helping you make a buying decision, why not? So I think that's where the world is going to in terms of sales and marketing.
Okay, awesome. You touched on a couple of points there, but what you really did is kind of built a really nice picture of, I think, where HubSpot is moving to in the future. And I think what came to mind for me was, you know, ChatSpot, the kind of AI tool built within HubSpot that you can chat to, you know, to give prompts to, you ask requests, this kind of thing. If I build a picture of a marketing employee being able to, you know, go to a AI tool within the system and actually rather than ask for these with employee size or revenue within a specific industry, this kind of thing. Whereas at the moment, HubSpot will go in, or ChatSpot, sorry, would build that list based on demographics. I think what you're saying is in the future, you'll be able to use AI within HubSpot And rather that's all being used on demographic, that, or sorry, rather than that data being brought to you using demographics, that data potentially can be brought to you using things like buyer intent, which is incredibly powerful. Is that kind of a picture of what you're seeing in the future?
Absolutely. I think there will be a space for demographics, because you need to combine the two. You may be a company targeting small businesses, and or you may be a company targeting large businesses, or you may only work in a specific time zone or a certain language. So demographics will always play a part. But at the moment, demographics is way too wide. I mean, you could say, I want all companies that are this size, that speak this language in this region, that have the structure. Yes, they are all a potential fit for your product. But what happens if they've just bought a product from a competitor and they're not in the market for another 2 years, maybe another 10 years, you know? So it's the combine that with buy intent actually just focuses your efforts.
Awesome. Well, Darren, that was a whirlwind. Thank you kindly. We'll be kind of, you know, keeping tabs on obviously the Clearbit acquisition and transition over the next 6, 12, 18 months. But thank you to all of our listeners. Do share and subscribe, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. And Darren, thank you once again.
Thank you so much.